Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
Alright, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
Alright, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. Hey, everybody. As usual, welcome to another episode of the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. My name is Bobby, or Junkhead, whatever you want to call me, and thank you to each and every one of you guys and gals for listening to this podcast, following it, whatever platform it is, whether it's Anchor, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcast. You guys are the best. Make sure you guys are giving us that awesome 5-star rating at the same time to show us that you guys really, really, really care about us. So, and as usual, my co-host, the man from across the pond, the beast from Bruges, Joachim Blaze. How's it going, brother?
Hey, Bobby. Thanks for having me again as your co-host.
Well, you're contractually obligated. No one's ever known that yet, though, but we'll talk about that later.
Where's my money?
It's a check in the mail.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got actually an awesome guest. I'm really hyped to announce him. He's honestly got one of the best camera setups on Twitch, man. Like, I saw a clip of him at some point, and he had this moving camera going from the right to the left or the left to doesn't matter. I was like, okay, I haven't seen this on Twitch yet. And then I went to read his bio and everything. So I'm gonna introduce him the way I found him. He is actually, his profession is filmmaker, if I say it right, but his profession is filmmaker. He's worked on movies like Jurassic World and Godzilla, which are awesome action movies, I think. And when he's actually not working on set, he's creating quality content for us, the viewers on Twitch, you know. He loves gaming. He's also really good at making YouTube videos with, information about how to do good setups and stuff like that. And his name is Mr. Activator. Activator, welcome in our podcast.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast, man.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me. I've been looking forward to today's little meeting.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, when he said it was you, and I was like, that name sounds familiar. And I remember as soon as I seen the clip, I was like, that's him. He's the one. He's like the prodigal camera guy that you like look up to. Like, this is the, he is it. He is the go-to guy. And I cannot wait to hear everything and anything, because obviously that is your forte and how you feel it's important that you wanted to take it to the next level. I'm sorry. I feel like a little schoolgirl right now, and I want to know more, you know, because we have audio people.
His camera is set up that well that when you look at it, you melt in his beautiful eyes, you know.
Majestic look. Very majestic.
That look, man. Like, you can see every imperfection or perfection on his face. You can just see it, you know? That's how good it is.
I mean, that can also totally work against me, you know? You have a bad facial day, and then everybody sees every little pore, every little eyelash that falls off your face or is sitting on your nose. And
It just lets us know that you're human. That's it, so... But please tell us.
But wait, that reminds me of... Sorry to interrupt, but that reminds me of Bobby... getting his new 4K camera and saying, like, I'm never going 4K. I'm not going 4K. I'm too ugly on 4K.
At 47 years old, I did not realize that I had, like, old person blotches kind of thing. And I turned on 4K, and then I was like, holy crap. Time to turn 4K back off. 1920 by 1080 works real good with a Brio, so...
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, 4K is it got really big back when the Red camera first got introduced, and you know, it was back in the time when film and, you know, digital cinematography were just miles and miles apart from each other. Nothing could even come close to film. And you look at film, and as it is today, is so close to digital. Digital cameras back then were trash. And now, like, Red One was originally released, and it was this new 4K camera, and had the latitude and the dynamic range of something very similar to film, and no one believed it. And then they revealed it, and they showed it off, and I remember seeing the first, think the first movie I saw in it was this movie Gamer. It's a terrible movie, but good action. And it was the first time I really saw him, like, oh man, dude, like this camera can put out some good images. Like this looks like film, and it blew my mind. So like the topic of 4K has been around for so long, and every time I see the new 6K, 8K, 12K, whatever K, I'm just it keeps going bigger and it keeps getting more intense and than it needs to be. Resolution in that sort of aspect is not the biggest thing in my eyes. I think 4K is a really good image in most people's eyes. It's a very clean image. It's very close to, you know, what you're kind of seeing with your eye-ish, you know, when you're looking at a TV or something like that. But I don't think anybody really needs 8K. I don't think anybody needs 6 or 12 or whatever it's at now, which I think is 12K from Blackmagic. They just introduced their new 12K camera, which just seems mind-blowing. But from like a filmmaker's standpoint, all that resolution is really good for VFX artists. You're able to really get in there and throw a bunch of digital effects to really enhance the image. But other than that, I just resolution in my eyes is like, it's not the, as much as with my channel, I throw it in there like, hey guys, 4K moving camera here, come check it out. I look at the 4K and it's like, I'm not even really utilizing the 4K. I'm downscaling to 1080 for my streams, and even though it's a 4K camera, like it looks really good because of my sensor and my lens and my camera knowledge, but you can make almost any camera 1K, 2K, 3K look good. You know, you take a movie like the, you know, James Bond's Skyfall. That movie was shot at 2.5K, 2.8K, something like that on the Arri Alexa, and it was put out in the IMAX theaters. It looked great. No one's going to see that and be like, hey, this isn't 4K. You know, I want my ticket back. So, it's really cool. Resolution is really good, but it's all about the camera's sensor and what it can handle. And it's all about the glass in front of that sensor that gives something its character. And as much as everybody comes to me like, hey, Activator, I want to get a new camera. What is this good? Is that good? Is this good? Is that good? And I have to be open to the people who don't see cameras the way that I see them. So when you're talking about you got this Brio, or you get, you know, your phone that has 8K on it or 4K, like that isn't the same to me as what is available out there in 1080 or what is available out there in, 2K or 4K. But it's really, it's that being like my biggest claim to fame, right? I'm pretty sure I was the first person on Twitch to bring in a 4K cinematic styled camera. But back then I didn't really set it up in like a cinematic way. I set it up in a very, just kind of run-of-the-mill general settings. I just threw a lens on there that I happened to own, and it worked out. But I didn't fine-tune my settings until, you know, 2016, middle of 2016, 2017. And at that point, I started to see slowly people started putting in their mirrorless cameras and their DSLRs and their 4K this and their 1080 that and trying to make their cameras look good. And it was such a cool feeling to, like, I was trying so hard to shove people in the way of, like, go towards this new camera, stop forcing yourself to look at these C920s and you know, all these little webcams. Like, you can do better. You can have a better looking image for your viewers. You got to think of your viewers and what they're seeing. And the majority of what they're seeing is either the gameplay or your face. So if you're trying to put all your energy in making your game look good, don't forget about your face. Like, people are staring at your face and they want to see good quality. You know, if you're rocking a potato, you know, camera in a dark lighting setup and all they can see is, you know, the light from their monitor hitting their face, and, you know, maybe all you see is a cheek and a nose and an eyeball. Hey, what's the point? You know, there are cameras out there that can see into that and make it look good. My camera was that the whole time I've owned it. My camera is a Sony A7S, and it was released knowing that it was probably one of the best low light cameras on the market when it first came out. And I was like, I want to jump on that. I want something that I can compete with other cameras on set, as well as it's a full frame sensor. It has all the specs that I want to match something in a professional world, but in a small little body. And so I jumped on it, and the coolest part was being able to stream and not have to worry about my lights. My image would always look clear and you'd always be able to see me because I was able to bump my camera sensitivity up. And no matter what kind of light I had, and I, for the longest time, all I had was this little tiny USB like touch LED light where you could plug it into your USB. Yeah, you just touched the light and it just slowly turned on or slowly turned off.
Yeah.
And that was my entire lighting setup. I put that on one of my side monitors and I'm sitting there staring at my screen and that's what's lighting me. And then my screens are doing the rest of the work. And then, you know, maybe I turn on a house light or I threw up some Christmas lights in the background. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of how I started. But what was interesting is, I did start with the webcam like everybody else. I wanted to make sure I could do streaming before I invested in putting my time and like gear wise effort into the stream, which I would recommend anybody who's ever looking into getting into casting. Don't worry about the gear. Make sure you like doing it and it's fun for you, right? I mean, you can look at it like a job, but right, first and foremost, man, you gotta just be able to. You'll feel it if it's working for you. You feel it, and okay. It took me a while to find that out. But you know,
it was the A7S that you use, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, from Sony.
I just looked it up. In Europe, it's like €1,500, so that's like $1,900 or something.
Well,
like that.
Let's just talk about the price escalation of webcams and mirrorless cameras because
I can afford it easily. I won the million dollar lottery.
Well, I mean, it's like like we were saying, is that like a Sony?
But for you,
Prio,
it's like you use it for your job also, right? Or for
correct. There were times where I bring this camera on set as like a side camera. You know, if I'm doing like an interview. And they have like the big beast camera in the front and center, you know, filming somebody. And then they use me off to the side with my little tiny camera, which is able to perform at the level of a good quality camera. So I was like taking this on set and yeah, it's been a great B camera or C camera, as we like to say.
It's been a multi-purpose camera for you then.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Anyways, what me and Bobby always wonder about our guests is guests, say it correctly, Blaze, with your European English. Who is Activator? Who is the person behind Activator? How did you become Activator? That's what we always wonder from our guests, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to think about. Like, when you're becoming, and I don't even know, it's even saying this is kind of weird, but when you're becoming someone, you don't know you're really becoming someone until it's, you know, years down the line. I didn't know I was becoming Activator. I was just becoming a broadcaster. And before that, I was just a gamer watching people on Twitch or watching, you know, I think back to when I was a kid. And I think the reason I got so invested for a couple of years in just watching people on Twitch and watching people game and stream was that that's what I did as a kid. But with my brother, my brother and I used to play games all the time. You know, we beat each other in Tekken and then we play some Grand Theft Auto 3 and. Or we play some PlayStation, you know, 1 games or something like that. You know, we would just sit there for hours playing games, but then every now and then we'd get a little single player game. You know, obviously it's not multiplayer, I can't play, but I enjoyed so much sitting on the couch next to my brother watching him play the games. And I never put it like in my head that like, oh, this is where that comes from. I miss kind of those times that I had with my brother, and then now I am in a sense becoming the big brother to a wide audience, and you know, hopefully one day it can be even bigger. But you know, the whole concept was just I liked watching it, and then I was like, I wish I could be that. I wish I could be like my big brother. And so eventually, I decided while working in the film industry, is like, I think I could maybe try this out and see where it goes. And so I tested it, and you know, for the better part of, you know, 3 months, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just kind of trying things out. You know, I had maybe 2 or 3 viewers and it was, you know, it was fine. I was so excited to just bring myself to whoever was watching. I didn't understand why I liked it, but I liked it. I liked people watching me play the game. Because my brother he never did that for me. He never watched me play the game. I was always watching him. So to have somebody watch me, it kind of felt like I had this little brother watching me. But yeah, and the way that I grew into myself, though, as a broadcaster, spawned from that, and it just turned into me playing games on my own for a long time and, you know, growing up. And then I eventually went to college for working on, like, 3D animated films, and I was following in my brother's footsteps yet again. He ended up going to this school called the Academy of Art University of San Francisco, and he went there to study animation, and after that went into Pixar and started working on Pixar on a lot of their big-name movies. And I wanted to follow in those footsteps yet again. So when I approached college, I approached it with the mindset, I'm going to go work on animated movies too. But then I started finding out that there was other things within this art school, like cinematography, like just working on movies or painting or anything like that. But then I really gravitated towards this whole movie side of things. I was like, oh, you know what? This is actually a lot of fun. I like learning about cameras and lighting, and like, I didn't know it was this in depth. And I got so bored sitting in front of computers editing and like messing around with like 3D applications. I was just like, I'm making the jump. I'm going straight into film. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Now, granted, I ended up becoming a film editor for a little while I was in school, editing music videos and all these little student films and whatnot. But my passion was like working on these little short films and these little small sets. And from there, I ended up, I moved into a new apartment with my my at the time girlfriend, now wife. And I found myself just in a lot of downtime. Once I got out of college, like when you're working in the film industry, you're an independent contractor. It's all down to who knows you and who you know and how good you are at your job. And you're not working, you know, 7 days a week. You're working maybe 2 days here, another 3 days after that. And then maybe you got like, you know, a week of downtime and you got another 2 day job and then another 30 day job. And it's all over the place. So I found myself always playing games in this downtime. And I was like, oh, this is fun. But, you know, let me see if there's a new game. And I ended up browsing this Xbox app called Twitch. And I found that some guy was playing this random horror game. I can't remember. Pinecrest, Pineview. Some horror game. And I ended up watching it and ended up turning out to be this guy named Lyric. And I was like, man, watching this guy play this really stupid, bad looking game is so entertaining. And it brought me back to this mindset of being a kid watching my brother play again. But it was just this ominous, funny young voice talking over this horror game. And I was having a ball with it. I ended up coming back and again and again and again. And then finally I registered a username. I don't even think it was my old gamer tag. My old gamer tag used to be a Executioner 32087, you know. So it was Executioner. That came from me as a gamer as a kid playing Halo. My brother was always the name Raven, and so it was Executioner and Raven. Then I brought that over to my gamer tag on my Xbox like 360 at the time, and then I registered that as my Twitch name. And so I started watching a lot of Twitch just so I could have the name and maybe I could type in chat every now and then. But like I maybe typed one thing in people's chats over the course of like 4 years of watching Twitch, 3 years of watching Twitch. And at a certain point, I was watching enough of this guy Lyric to be like, man, this guy's so entertaining. Like maybe I could do it. Maybe I'll test it. Yeah. Okay. I'll test it. Let me see if I could buy a computer. I think at the time Lyric was playing this game called DayZ Mod. And I was like, oh man, this game looks fun. Like, let me try to build a PC around that game and see if I can play it. And so I started to do it. And then I kind of procrastinated on trying to develop a Twitch thing. And I ended up just playing the game a lot. And it was a lot of fun. But I still found myself daily when I wasn't working for 8 hours when he would stream, just sitting there watching his streams and being so infatuated with just like the idea of someone just like talking over their gameplay and making it so entertaining. So eventually I was like, okay, I'm gonna try it, dude. So I started thinking up names, and names on the internet are so hard to nail down because everything is taken. Everything on the planet is basically taken. And trying to figure out a name, I'm always 10 steps ahead, or I try to be 10 steps ahead. So when I'm thinking of like a name, I was like, okay, if I get a name, can it be? Is it gonna have symmetry to where I can take a letter from it and make a logo out of it? Can I? You know, is it going to look good if I make it all capital or make it all lowercase? Can it still look good? You know, I was trying to think ahead to make sure that whatever name I tried to stick with was something that I would stick with and not change. And at the time, I was like, I got it. I'm going to go with the name Soul Glow. And so I remember I was listening to this band called Family Force 5 at the time, and I got really into it. And like any person really into anything, you might end up, you know, taking ideas from it and kind of rolling with it. And so the lead singer's name from this band, Family Force 5, was Soul Glow Activator. And so, I mean, you probably, you know, look ahead here and see where I'm going. But I went with Soul Glow and it was like, Soul Glow, taken. Soul Glow spelled in a different way, taken. I was like, okay, Soul Glow Activator, taken. Okay, Activator with an O, taken. Activator with a U, taken. Activator with an E, available. I was like, oh, okay. All right, I can kind of roll with Activator, maybe. Like, I try to, like, play it out in my mind. I try to draw it on paper. I try to make the V in the Activator, like, you know, extend over the T on the right. And I try to do all these different things to try to make, like, something. I made an A with, like, wings coming out the sides of them. I did all these things to be like, okay, I think I can roll with, like, the letter A. And Activator sounds kind of okay, you know. I'm sure I'll get some beef about it's being spelled wrong. But maybe I can just be like, I'm activating things, you know. I don't know. So then I just spent like a month straight trying to design a intro because like I looked up to the bigger broadcasters I was watching at the time, like Tim the Tatman and Lyric, and they had intros. And I was like, man, I should probably have an intro too. So I started just taking time to develop an intro in After Effects. I self-taught myself After Effects to try to figure out how to make this this intro. And so I found this online website tutorials, and I think it was Video Copilot, and it taught me how to like do some stuff. And I was like, okay, cool, I'll do it. And I made the intro. I finally made an intro, and I was like, well, Lyric has this really cool cinematic music that goes with it. So I started browsing. I'm like, well, I got to find some cinematic music, but it can't be mainstream. I can't have like, you know, the Mission Impossible soundtrack. It's got to be something different. So eventually I stumbled upon this this other cinematic score music from an unknown source. I think his name is Martin Haslem, something like that. And I ended up just rolling with it. And I was like, okay, this is nice. It fits perfectly. I edited the music to the intro. I was like, okay, cool. I got that. Okay, now I need to make my offline screen. I got to make my panels and stuff below my Twitch channel. And I made at that point, I was like, okay, I think I saw him tweet or say something about Twitter. So maybe I got to make a Twitter. I made a Twitter, and then I started just going off on like posting little snippets of like, hey guys, I'm going to get ready for my first stream. You know, by the way, I had like no followers at this time. It was, you know, an empty Twitter. I'm shouting out to nobody out there. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just like, hey, I'm making this thing. Hey, I'm going live. Hey, here's this intro. Oh, and I got my camera set up and here we go. And here's going to be the date. And then I went live. For the first time ever, I went live and I was like, here we go, intro, just turn it on, music is on, okay, now the intro's over, and here I'm gonna talk and be like, hey, welcome guys, even though no one was there, I put on a show as if I was Lyric, you know, I was putting on a show to people that weren't there, and it felt fun, it felt like I was like an actor on a movie, which I'd never been before, I'm always behind the camera on a set.
That's so funny that we started talking.
No, because I think it's a lost value is that like nowadays everyone looks at the number and like I we've all like Blaze and I have both said it. I was like, you that's an irrelevant thing when you're starting out, and that you need to act like you're creating content to 7,000 people and you're just entertaining, because nowadays like. You know, like Blaze and I said, is that you can't be a streamer. You have to be a content creator nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like you said, that like it's so awesome to sit back here and I was starting to write down a question. I was like, he's like answering every question before I can even ask it. And because like when you're talking about the camera, and I don't mean to deter you from whatever the direction you're going, no. Is that like I think people that when they ask you what camera would you recommend, and I was like, I know that you look at things from a completely different perspective than I do. Blaze looks at things from a completely different perspective visually, you know what I'm saying? From a visual aspect, like I see things that in a different way than Blaze does. And then you see things that are on like another level compared to what we do. And so that's what I was like, man, I wouldn't ask. There's no way I would say, Activator, what would you recommend? Because there's so many factors nowadays. There's lighting, there's room size, there's everything. And I'm like, it's so cool because like that's all I can say is that you see things differently than everyone else does.
You'd be surprised at how many people come to me with that question. Like, hey, Activator, I want to get a new camera. What camera do I get? Like, hey, Activator, I want a camera like yours, or I want a camera. Like I try every time I've answered that question. It's always I try to work out what is it that they're seeing that they want. And I really push them to be like, okay, here's my stream. Here's my clip that you sent me that you want a camera like this. What is it about this image that you like? And no one ever thinks of that. Like, no, everyone just says they come back and be like, hey, I just want a camera that looks crispy. I'm like, I don't know what that is. What's crispy to you? Is that the depth of field, the shallow depth of field? Is that the color? Is that the sharpness? Is that the dynamic range that you can see out my window and see indoors at the same time? Like, there's so much in what kind of camera should I get? So yeah, I have to dumb myself down. Not dumb myself down, that's kind of the wrong term, but I have,
you have
to, like,
to put yourself in that situation. Yeah.
I have to put myself in a very basic kind of mindset of like, I just want a good looking camera.
Like right? It's funny, for 2 years I used a Logitech C615.
Mm-hmm.
And like I looked at Blaystream and I was like he's got two C920s and like we've helped each other. He's helped me out a lot with my streaming setup and like his changing his angles. And I was like, that it's the same camera, looks different to me. Mm-hmm. And then I went from a 615 to a Brio and I'm like, man, cameras do make a difference, you know? And I was like, what was I thinking? You know, I wouldn't even use that camera as a keyboard cam, or that's like a trash can cam, you know, but it's just like, it's so nice because I love hearing this because it's like, you take things for granted. Like you said, low light cameras versus, you know, like, and then the shallow depth of field, like that's like the big thing now, the, mm-hmm. like the blurry background, and I'm like, look, I'm happy with the Brio, old man time, you know, I'm taking one step at a time here.
Sure.
And Blades is going to have to worry about that soon, pretty soon, you know, hair's going to start falling out, you know.
Yeah. I was just going to say, people, if you need any information, 0800 activator, just so you know. It's $1 per minute for his advice.
he's got a fans only for camera recommendations, you know.
I legit thought about it for a while to open, because like you don't know.
That was the first thing I thought. That was the first thing I thought when you started talking like 5 minutes ago. Why doesn't he do that?
I mean, I should, but at the same time, like I know I have the knowledge to give to people, and I know I should put a price tag on that, but at the same time, like I feel kind of like a dick if I do that. Like if I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm not going to give you camera advice unless you pay me $5. Like I feel like an asshole doing that.
That's not I don't mean it in that way. But if you're really like in depth are going to help somebody, sure. and be busy with that for hours and days responding to that person and stuff, absolutely. Like that, I think it's different. You know, if it's somebody saying like, what do you think of this camera? Is it good or bad? And you say it's good. What do you want to do with it? Okay, you can do that with it. You know, stop. But if it's you have to go on his computer helping configure it and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, that's a different thing, I think, you know?
So I think that's what spawned me making all my YouTube content as of the end of 2018, right before TwitchCon. I was trying to really push to like, hey, can I do a panel at TwitchCon to go over all this kind of stuff that I know, all my knowledge, and like put on a little panel show for it. And they declined me. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to release a whole tutorial segment on the internet. I'm just going to go over every little thing. So I went over cameras. I went over lighting. I went over camera settings, all this kind of stuff. And that's when I started to realize, oh, I'm kind of just putting this information out there for free. But I'm also kind of, I guess, monetizing from the YouTube like views and whatnot. So it's not, I don't know. Like I feel like I can't sit there and be like, hey, please pay me $10 and I will help you with your camera. I for some reason, I can't do it. I don't know what it is, but I can't sit there and try to like.
Yeah, I think that's what people, you should do like a cheesy, like you've seen all the like the ads now. Hey, mm-hmm. do you guys want to improve your camera when you're streaming? Camera mm-hmm. angle, change, go. Now, if you come to my YouTube channel, the first class is free. Camera angle, change, go. And you look the other way. But if you come, you know, after that, it's $79.99, the second class. Then, you know, it escalates from there. But you should do one and just make fun of them because you have that ability to be like, the second class is absolutely free. The third class, absolutely free because I'm here to help you. Because, I mean, there's – and that's why we kind of, Blaze and I, really – really enjoy doing this podcast because it's just letting people know that there are outlets. People sometimes are afraid to ask for help because I look at your rig and I'm literally waiting for the activator room cam that goes 360 around and it locks onto you the whole time, you know, and stuff like that. That's what I'm waiting for it to come down the pipeline. That's just me, not just the corner.
It would be super cool. I mean, the thing that I use to my motorized slider that basically just makes my camera go left and right. It'd be super cool to work with some company to be like, this is the activator branded one, man. It does this and this and this, and it's on like a cheaper budget rather than this big expensive thing, but it'll do all the things you want. But yeah, maybe someday in the future that could be a potential. But
sponsorships are open. Please slide into his DMs for that. You know,
I'm ready.
Okay.
But yeah. I mean, sorry.
We went off the rail a little bit, though. It's just so cool because, like, we all learn. You know, like Blaze and I sit back and we message you. I was like, this stuff is cool. You know, it's like I'm learning. You know, it's like I never would have thought. You know, hey, let's buy a mirrorless camera, and I'm gonna look good. There's no like no one like the simpleton camera guy like myself. wouldn't realize, okay, a low light camera will do this if I want to have lights off and just simple, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go back to taking notes. Class is back in session.
I'm just going to say something like something I realized in the last few weeks was, for example, everybody's always talking about this amazing cam link from Elgato, right? So like, I need a cam link for my DSLR camera, but you actually don't need a cam link. You can use a capture card from AVerMedia, for example, also, you know, like the one I'm using. And like, the knowledge sometimes about certain things isn't like, you have to go through some YouTubes and start really searching to see these things. And some things are so commercialized that you are under the impression that you really only need a cam link. You can only have a DSLR camera working on your PC with a cam link. You know, that was my first perception that I had. So, but yeah, sorry.
No, I mean, that kind of brings me to another point is like a lot of people that ask me about cameras and stuff. They're like, okay, so I know I need a cam link and I need the camera and I need a cable. And I stopped and I'm like, you don't need the cam link. The cam link is one of those pieces of tech that is just like so overly priced. It's stupid. I think Elgato's great. They make some good, solid products, but their stuff, their light and their cam link are dumb expensive. And people should not be investing in that stuff. Like, I don't want to bash on their products, but at the same time, I know what it's offering, and I know that there's alternatives for the people that don't need what they're offering. The big thing about the cam link is like, hey, you can get 4K at 30 FPS. Like, yeah, but A, nobody streams at 4K. B, nobody cares about 30 FPS anymore. It's all about the 60, right, on Twitch. So, like, yeah. Whoever's using your cam link, we're going to dumb it down to 1080p 60 anyways. So... there's cheaper options out there, is what I'm saying. Like, I think the cam link's what, like $300, something like that.
No, it's 129. It's 129.
Oh, now it's 129. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But
and like AVerMedia didn't release long ago that one with Duo. Two entries. Yeah, the Duo. So you know, you can get a capture card that can have your PlayStation capture or whatever, and your camera.
Yeah, but that's $250. That's $250.
That's a really cool capture card that, yeah, they're kind of just now releasing, but it does have its own limitations in terms of what each input can take, I think. I think one does like 4K 30 and the other only does 1080p 60. But I forget. I only briefly looked at it this morning, but there's always looking at things on paper is really tough. I don't know, man. That's like why these tutorials on YouTube and stuff like need to exist. Like that cam link being $130, if you're using it at, if you know, if your stream's 720p at 60 FPS, I can get you a capture card for $15 that will do everything you want. It'll take any source you throw at it, some NES from back in the day, get a couple cables and put it in there, it'll take it. You take anything you want, it'll take it. $15. And it's basically the anti-cam link. And I think it started to go make its rounds. And it's just this random generic USB-looking cam link type device on Amazon that literally goes anywhere between $9 and like $50. And I made a video on it. I'm like, I'm trying to get it out there because it means a lot. A lot of people don't know what they want until they have something in their hands. And why not go with something that costs $10 so you can kind of start to figure things out rather than go right for the, hey, give me that AVerMedia, or give me that, you know, Elgato 4K 60 Pro, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so if people haven't figured it out yet, go and check out this YouTube, please. Anyways, let's jump back to your story.
No,
man.
I mean,
I'm really excited.
I think he nailed it, though, right? I mean, it's great to have 4K pass-through, mm-hmm. that ability, mm-hmm. but when your Twitch is dialing it down, like that 4K kind of gets lost in translation. Yeah, I have a Brio. I can go 4K, but why?
So that leaves
1920
me,
looks good.
Sure. And it does. And 1920 is good. But if you look at it in a sense, because I'm going to play devil's advocate to myself here. If you do take a 4K system and you dummy it down to 1080, you're getting a better 1080p image than you are getting at normal 1080 to 1080. You know what I mean? Like if you're downscaling your 4K image to 1080, which is what I've been doing ever since I started streaming, I have never once sent out a 4K signal to my stream. I am using a 4K camera, but okay, you want a little secret? Back in the day,
let me get my notepad out. is this the special?
It's not a secret. Like, hey, this is gonna help you do this and this and this. No, it's a secret about myself. That I've only told I think two of my homies, and So I've always had the 4K camera. I've always done, I always claim in my title, like, hey, 4K moving cameras, blah, blah, blah. But back when I first introduced my camera, it is 4K, but you need a separate device to get the 4K. And even if you do get the separate device to have the 4K, which I did and still do, it's called an Atomos Shogun. It's a monitor. But anyways, you put the 4K from the camera into this monitor, and then that's how you get the 4K. However, when I'm plugging my camera in, I'm only sending a 1080p signal. I have never had 4K in my channel other than my brand new cheap Lumix G7, which was my cat cam. But before that, it's always been a 1080p camera, but it's a full frame 4K sensor that's downscaling that image to 1080, which is why it looks so good. But it, back in the day when people would come into my channel and be like, oh my God, this camera. And I was like, yeah, guys, you like that? And everyone would be like, oh man, I would always tell them like, hey,
hand.
I don't,
you,
I was like, hey, I don't actually,
you.
I don't actually have, oh no, I never told them I don't have 4K, but everyone always asked like, oh dude, show the 4K, because I used to do this little tease and I'd be like, you guys want to see 4K? And I'd go into my filters in OBS and I just add a sharpening filter and I just crank it. And people would see this weird looking image. And they'd be like, oh, that's 4K. Dang. And I messed with so many people's heads thinking that they were seeing this brand new 4K image when all I was doing was upping the sharpness. And it blew people's minds. And it just kind of solidified the idea in my head. Like, people don't actually know what they're seeing. They kind of just like, oh yeah, that's cool, man. That's amazing. But I've never, the camera that everybody knows me for is only showing my 1080p signal. Cause not only is it 1080, it's shooting at 60 FPS, but the 4K in my camera only goes up to 30. So I've never sent out that 30 FPS because I'm like, I don't want to do 30 FPS on Twitch. I always want the 60. So I've always done 1080p, 60. I've never had 4K come out of my main camera. But that's my my big secret for people that used to think that I would go into 4K.
I'm
going to
start advertising first 9K camera on stream, and then I'll just put like a small filter on it.
Just add two sharpening filters.
Sharpening filters.
Yeah, I'm sad now. I just unfollowed Activator. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
But it was fun back in the day because nobody had seen 4K cameras back then. So I could mess with their brains. Like no one ever questioned me. Like I said, like, hey, I'm Activator, I work in the film industry. Here's my camera. And they're like, oh, he's legit. I believe him. And so I kind of just always played into it. And every time I got raided by like Tim the Tatman or someone like that, I'd be like, oh, you guys want to see something crazy? Check out this 4K. And then I upped that little slider. There's that sharpening. And everyone's like, whoa. But yeah, no, I've never had the 4K. So what I'm getting at is that 4K, it doesn't really matter. You're probably at max going to stream to at 1080p on Twitch, trying to go to 4K. Good luck with your processor or whatever you're trying to use to throw it out there. And you need the bitrate for it. And there's a whole bunch of technical things that go along to get a nice 4K stream. So I don't see it happening anytime soon. But yeah, I think 4K downscaled, or 6K or 8K or 12K downscaled to 1080 will look so good. Because that's basically what I've been doing, is taking a 4K camera and downscaling it to 1080. But it's doing it internally in the camera, not through Twitch.
Okay, now that the trade secret's out, sharpening filter, let's go. So, I mean, like you were saying, you were like, just, hey, you were streaming, nobody, and you felt like everyone was watching you. You know what I'm saying? Like you were like everyone, you know?
I mean, that's the thing. You have to pretend in a sense. Back then, okay, today's brand new caster is different. But back then, it was very much just like, you stream for the fun of it. You're not streaming for money. You're not streaming for anything. You're just streaming for just having fun, right? And maybe you're playing games with your friends, and maybe you get a couple viewers, and maybe that turns into a couple hundred or a couple thousand or whatever. You don't know. But today, people look at streaming because of how much Ninja blew it up, how much all these big casters blew it up. They look at it as like, oh, I can make money on Twitch. All I got to do is stream my games. Okay, cool. And so when you're, it's good and bad. Today, it's different. But back then, streaming for the money, wrong. You're doing it wrong right off the bat. But today, streaming for money is not a bad idea. And I hate that it has such a bad rap, because like there is some legitimacy in it being your job. And it is my job right now. And granted, I've been doing it for, you know, 5 years, and you know, it still does not meet what I used to make working in the film industry. But it's enough that like I'm happy with it. But I think the caster that comes in and starts streaming today should look at some way of making it a part of their income, you know? Not to say like this is my one job. I'm putting all my money and effort into streaming. Like, I don't think that's the case, but I do think you should know that it is a potential job and treat it like a potential job so that you take it more seriously. And maybe at some point you end up growing, maybe you end up some point making lots of money from it, and maybe you don't. And maybe that's when you kind of leave it as like, oh, maybe this isn't for me, but I like doing it anyway, so I'm going to do it on the side. So what was really lucky for me is I started in the time where I wasn't looking at it for the money. I was looking at it like, I just want to be like these other guys that are entertaining. That's all I want to do. And like, I was doing it. I mean, granted it was for like 3 to 4 people, but I was doing it and it felt good. And I started to meet these like new faces, and you know, these usernames would come in and be like, hey man, you gonna play that game again today? Oh, can I jump in with you? Yeah, sure. Let's do it, man. And I started developing these relationships, and you know, out of the first 3 viewers, 2 of them still come around to my channel today, which is super wild, for them to have seen my transition and for me to like, I've gotten to know them so well. And like that was my big thing, is like, I'm here to stream, play games and have fun and meet these people and get to know them. Not I'm here to stream and make money.
That's actually awesome that they keep coming back. You know, like, yeah. I remember like my first sub ever, I'll never forget him. His name is Widow Kiss. He still subs to me. He still comes in to my channel. So sometimes he's busy with work or whatever for a month, but he comes in to do his sub, to say hello, to see how I'm doing, and then he goes on doing his thing, you know? Like, it's crazy.
The dedication behind that is, it blows my mind to see the first guy that ever, or one of the first people that was ever in my channel, and then finally they became a sub, and they're still sub today, is just, it blows my mind that they've traveled with me throughout this entire experience. And they the same thing, like, they can't always be there, but, you know, once every month or two, they'll be like, oh, right, I gotta go resub. Okay, cool. And they click the little button, and like, hey, I'm still here, but like, you know, just want to support. Sorry, I'm still, you know, with my wife and we had a kid. And then I learn about people and it's just like, oh man, it's so cool that I like, A, I know who you are. B, I've seen you change your username. C, you have a kid now. B, like, you know, it just keeps going on. I keep learning more and more. And like, I play games with you. And it's just, it's such a cool feeling to have experienced friendship in a digital medium. I've never met the guy in person and I know so much about him and it blows my mind. But it's so like that being like, at the forefront for why I was streaming, to just entertain and hang out with friends, and that being the reason I kept going, was just like, it makes me happy looking back on it. But definitely today I am a different caster, and I very much look at all the numbers. I very much look at, all right, how much did I make this month? How much did I make last month? What are my bits? What are my donations? What is this? What is that? Can I sustain what I'm doing, or do I need to start thinking of alternatives to make more income? Do I need to start monetizing my YouTube videos? Do I need to start, you know, advertising on Instagram, hey, do you need a commercial shot? Let me come shoot your commercial, or something like that. It's different today, you know? And I think if anybody's
didn't you just tweet at Dr. Lupo that you'd be willing to go and set up his whole camera and his whole setup?
Yeah, so
I seen that. I was like, look, listen, fun fact, Dr. Lupo will be on this podcast eventually. And I was like, I seen you tweet at him like the next day. I was like, I told Blaze, I was like, I'm going to do this tweet. I'm going to get him on the podcast. And then you tweet that out. I was like, oh, dude, I love Dr. Lupo. But
keep on dreaming.
Dr. Lupo, I started, I think I ended up finding him on YouTube through one of his videos on like how to stream and how to be a better caster. And just to see where he's gone has been incredible. Just side note, I know this isn't really about me, but Dr. Lupo as a caster and as a person, one of the best people out there, man. I'm super happy that he is successful and he's doing everything he can. And yes, I did contact him over Twitter because someone else contacted me showing a clip of his stream where he was talking about getting a new PC and then also getting a camera. And then he had mentioned, like, I want to get a camera that can move and revolve around me. And someone in the chat had mentioned my name, or I saw a bunch of different people like saying, hey, Activator does this. And he's like, he acknowledged that he knew who I was. And I was like, okay, cool. He acknowledged, like, he knows my name, but no, that's probably the end of it. But I ended up just tweeting at him and just being like, hey man, if you ever need help with the setup or anything like that, you know, hit me up in my DMs, they're always open. And he did. He hit me up in the DMs and I started going over. He's been the first person I've ever told like the make and model of like what I'm using of everything and what the actual better version of my gear is, and he was getting all and like giggly, dude. He was getting very excited at the potential because his upgrades coming up seem pretty freaking cool. I know he's looking into getting a moving camera like I kind of have, and like I've always hid that information because like whenever you have something with your channel that no one else has, it's very hard to let that go.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's once, like me trying to take something from you,
mm-hmm.
and that is yours. I mean, I've seen so many of your YouTube videos. They're like, oh, people want to know, or like your streams. I go in there and I was like, what do you have? And you're like, here's right. something cheaper. Here's something yeah. cheaper that's similar to what I have, but
yeah.
this is mine.
It's just, it's tough, dude. When you have something that works and is cool and original, the moment it gets in the hands of a larger clouded, you know, broadcaster or person or just someone of bigger stature, they're the ones known for it.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Bobby, from the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast.
Hold on a minute. Why is it always you doing the intro? It's my time now. Guys, if you ever wondered what peripherals we're using while we're doing this podcast, while we're gaming, while we're having fun, while we're actually fragging, we're using XtraFi. If you want to check them out, it's XtraFi.com. If you want to check a local store near you or an online store, XtraFi.com/resellers. Go and check it out. I gotta say, I've been using the super lightweight mouse for a year now. It's amazing. It improved my aim and it improved my gaming. And I had them send over some stuff to Bobby to test out. What did you think about it, Bobby?
I'm gonna tell you, I've been using the one specific mouse for like 2 years. And the fine people at XtraFi sent me this awesome RGB mouse, the M4. And it's super lightweight. It took me like a little bit to get used to it, and I'm never going to use anything else. I mean, it's so simple to change my DPI. The polling on it is simple, and not only that, I got some H1 Ninjas in Pajamas inspired headphones in the mail today, and I love them 100%. So, you guys,
yeah, guys, as you can hear, headsets, keyboards, mice, mouse pads. Accessories.
Let me
like
ask you
what,
this.
What
are you? I noticed that you said you wanted a mouse bungee for Christmas this year. Well, guess what? XtraFi's got you covered. 100%.
Oh,
so
awesome, man.
You guys go to XtraFi.com or XtraFi.com/resellers. They sell all over the world, Asia, NA, Europe. They got you covered. So you guys, check it out. Tell them the guys from the Frag and Laggin podcast send them your way. And just keep in mind, if you guys are out there, you better be fragging because if not,
you're probably not using XtraFi gear.
You know what I mean? Like, because there was, you know, I've had, 30,000 people that follow my channel, and Dr. Lupo has millions, right? If he shows that thing on his stream, out of all the 30,000 I have and all the millions that he has, all those millions can be like, oh, Dr. Lupo did it first. Like, this is amazing. I've never seen it before. And they have it because I'm a small caster, right? I'm not Dr. Lupo. But that's just how it works, right? You know, when I first introduced my camera, I only knew one other person that also did something similar, but everyone else was using like C920s and other little Logitech cameras. And eventually I was approached by, Soda Poppins, moderator and my friend, Whips, and he and I worked together to get Soda Poppins' new camera. I think he ended up getting a Sony A7S2 or A7R2 or something like that. Because he went to Tokyo and he wanted some like good looking clean camera. Anyways, so then Soda Poppin was kind of seen with this brand new camera and people were mind blown. I'd never seen it before, but I had already been doing it for the last couple of years. So I was like, okay, so now Soda Poppin's the guy that's known for the good camera quality. But, you know, it's just a weird situation. I know Dr. Lupo went through the same thing with, I think, the replay system. I think, you know, some streams have replay system. I think Dr. Disrespect had it and, you know, some people made it. They're like their thing, and you know, someone else that had started it, it's now like in the hands and control of someone else. So that's kind of very similar for me and my moving camera. I've had it for, I think, since January 2018, and I just finally am now deciding, okay, I'm gonna put the information out there and let people have it. I'm starting to see moving cameras kind of pop up here and there, and it's really cool. So let me. I've been starting to think of a way to educate people like, hey, here's a cheap version. Here's an expensive version. Here's a good version. So I'm looking forward to finally getting that out there. But at the same time, it's kind of like letting your child go off to college or whatnot. You know what I mean? Like you're putting it out there in the world and who knows what's going to happen. Yeah, but, you know, I've
it's like someone opening your door and someone going to your refrigerator and helping themselves. Then didn't just walk out and be like, hey, thanks for the pizza, bud. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, let me bring you a slice while I'm still in my house. Like, let me walk it out to you. You can have a little sneak peek here. And yeah,
that's why we need somebody to get on board with Activator and create the Activator model that is like a one of one. No one else can touch.
Yeah, it would just be super cool to have like a streamer branded, you know, the slider that would be like perfect for every man caster. You know, like there's a lot of different versions of what I'm using out there. And there's a lot of better versions. They cost so much more money.
So AverMedia, if you're listening, or Elgato, or anybody else, contact and work on some new amazing products for you
guys. Yeah, I mean, there's certain things that I think, in a way, as a content creator, that you have to be selfish about. Because, like, when you're creating content, you are literally putting yourself out there for anybody. And it's the internet. Mm-hmm. Once it's out there, it doesn't come back. Not unless you have some friends in really powerful places to make things go away. But, mm-hmm. you know, like for me, if I'm in a bad mood and if I say something or if I do something unique, it's out there. Yeah. So in a way, like branding is important to everybody. Like, branding is incorporated in everything that you do. Like, you're an awesome content creator that takes cinematic content creation to another level. And to me, I just want, yeah, you know, Miss Dr. Lupo has a couple more thousand viewers than any of us here, you know. But I think he's one of those guys like, you know, I got this idea from such and such, you know, or, you know, he helped me do this, you know. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I think in a way, I just don't see... Because Dr. Lupo, let's face it, he's a father, he's married, and he's one of those guys that he gives back a huge amount, like with his charity mm-hmm. streams and stuff, you know? Yep. And I just think honestly, with you assisting him, he would be like, hey, if it wasn't for, you know, Activator, this wouldn't be possible. He helped me out. You know, go check him out, you know?
Sure, and I think it's just always in the back of my mind, and I'm sure other people's minds. Like, as soon as you give someone a you know, something, like you're worried that they have it and they now kind of control it. But at the same time, it's, I don't know, man. I need to let that go. I feel like I get that I should hold on to certain pieces of information and my own knowledge, right? But at the same time, like I feel bad holding back in a sense. Maybe that's a good thing or a bad. I don't know what you would call it.
See it being a bad thing. Like I said, I think it's a good thing, because, you know, people will have just one. You still have two. You know, you have multiple. Oh, that's cool. He has a slider cam, but I have the new Activator 9000 slider cam over here. Check it out. You know, so it's just it is tough. It's like you said. It's like you're letting your kid go off to school. You know,
mm-hmm.
so.
But, you know, I've just been asked the question so many times on, like, how does your camera move, that I've made so many jokes. You know, I've said things like, you know, I got a block of ice that just slides back and forth. I have a person sitting behind this this camera that's moving it back and forth. I have a little remote-controlled train that I put my camera on. I just sit there and I pull it back and forth all day. I've said everything I can, but I ended up making one video and putting it on YouTube. Like, hey, this is kind of like what I'm using. But I think now I'm just, you know, it's been 2 years. I think I can let go a little bit. I already have my ideas for the future of my stream and how I'm going to upgrade and how I'm going to bring the streams to a next level that people haven't seen before. But it's just everything that I can think of is it's just, it's going to cost a lot to do it. But when I have it, it's going to be like, whoa, and I want that whoa factor back. Like, I did it with my camera. I did it with my slider. Now I want to do it again. I just need to figure out how to do it. So yeah, I'm working on the next thing. I just need to figure out how to get it.
It's not exactly the same thing, but when I got my sub button, right, I introduced like this spin wheel where if people subbed, I spinned it and they could get like a reward or I did something or anything, mm-hmm. right? And I was actually the first on Twitch doing that, you know? And at some point people started reaching out to me, how are you doing this? Even like bigger streamers. And, you know, the only thing I hated is when I saw people doing it without, you know, asking me, you know, and they copied me exactly, like exactly the same thing. The only thing that I, in the beginning, like, it was also hard to let go, you know, But the only thing that in the beginning always appreciated was people reaching out, said like, I love your idea. Is it okay? I use it. And I was like, yeah, go ahead, man. The only that I didn't, you know, I didn't have anything else, but like, it's like I said, like you always try to find the next thing, right? And that's mm-hmm. also with your cameras. And that's yeah. why I can understand what you're saying, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's cool that some, like, you know, I'm definitely one of the people that was using the spinner wheels and whatnot, but that's like very much, I'm sure, later on and was associated with different websites and whatnot. But, yeah, that was super cool.
I even had an automated like fruit machine at some point, you know, that when people subbed, it automatically started spinning in my stream like an alert, but wasn't an alert. It was something, you know, like spinning automatically and show the reward immediately that I didn't have to do it manually anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted a guy that could program that, and, you know, he helped me make it, and we made it together finally, and it was really awesome. And, you know, I knew how to adjust certain things, and then we had to make different animations to link to it and everything. But, and then again, after a while, you saw it popping up everywhere, and you were like, okay, I gotta find something new, you know? It's every time. Yeah. Like that, it's all, it's not even in streaming, it's everywhere where everything evolves all the time, you know, and you just try as a streamer to be different every time, I think, and to do different things so people notice you and see that you're, you know, bringing something new to the table.
Absolutely. I think innovation is something I really strive for, and it's kind of always been something, like, I'm always trying to think of what people aren't doing that looks clean and is really cool. Right. Like I know there's a lot of like people out there. You take someone like Sushi Dragon, right, who has a ton of different scenes, a bunch of tech and gear and whatnot. Like that stuff is cool, but it's not the innovation that I want. I want the stuff that is just very, just you look at it and you're like, oh man, that's cool. Right. Like not, hey, that's funny. You know, he's pushing a button on his, you know, his hand.
So the next thing should be like a drone that follows you around, you know, every movement you do. And the drone just follows you with the camera.
Maybe that's
dude, you're giving out the secrets, bro.
Come on, dude, man, the secret sauce is out there.
I'm a marketing guy. You know how my brain works. I'm a marketing guy. It's always popping. You know, I'm always thinking of stuff.
So I've thought of that before, and the biggest problem with that is audio, because drones today are just too loud. You can't make it happen. All you hear is this loud buzzing sound. If you've ever flown a drone, you know you can hear it from, you know, 6 blocks away. So me having a little like DJI Mavic, and if I connected that to my stream, like everybody hears it, you know, it's just audible to my microphone unless I mute my mic, and there's no way that's going to happen. But maybe with like the new RTX features that, you know, enable like the noise from your microphone to not be picked up in the background or something like that, maybe that could work, but it's just impractical because a drone is battery operated, and B, the sound, how are you going to keep it charged the whole time? Are you going to plug it into a wall? Like one of those old airplanes that used to spin around your head attached to a cable, you know, like you got to figure out all these little logistical things. And so like, I'm always thinking about that. And like, I'll drop one piece of thing that I thought about doing, which I still need someone else to help me with because I don't know who to look for, but I thought about doing something. So Twitch has these things called extensions. Now with that extension, it allows the user in their chat to occupy and do something that the streamer is not doing. The thing I want to do with it is I would love to take a camera that is a 360 camera, place it somewhere in my room, and have my viewers be able to operate it and move it around. And maybe my cat walks in and they can like follow it with their mouse. You know, they just drag on the screen and like turn the camera around. But I have no idea how that shit would work. And I would love to have it, but that would be like, cool, right?
I think that would be. Well, okay.
Right. Take it to the next step. Now that these
next
cameras
level.
Called...
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and turn my. I'm going to go ahead and delete my Twitch account now because you know, you've taken it next level. And that you think about that, because in a way, like when you're creating content, when you're casting, when you're streaming, you want to do something different. You want to add that factor where the audience can do something. You know, mm-hmm. It's like where you could be like, oh, okay, like, boom, 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 you're like a poll or something, you know, what do you want the camera to do here, boom, mm-hmm. And the, you know, the, whatever the percentage, you know, who wins the poll, the camera would go there, you know, or do something, you know.
Yeah, but just like little things like that.
So
like,
any of you coding experts out there, please hit up Activator, you guys
contact
create something.
Contact me. Help me out, dude.
Patent pending already, so it's out there already.
But yeah, so like I have a lot of ideas like that, but it's all A, I don't know how to code. B, I don't know where to get certain kinds of tech, and B or C, everything costs money. So the latter being the biggest issue. If money wasn't an issue, like I would definitely seek out and find the things I would want to do and make it happen. But you know, that's just gonna take time.
Would you get the like a Jurassic World dinosaur behind you and stuff like that with a camera mounted on it?
Every now and then, have the Jurassic Park, you know, T-Rex coming through my window, come says hello. I feed it some eggs or something like that, and it goes back out. Yeah, sure, why not? But
imagine that kind of stream. I mean, damn.
Definitely, you'd be like, I can't compete now. This guy, I mean, please, you know, he started off with the camera on a slider. Two cameras on a slider that, and it's not just that it's on a slider, is that the camera, no matter what it moves to, is always focused on you. That's just a cool thing. So it's not like it like looks past your shoulder. Right. It's always on you. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know you talked about what is your like your experience. What movies have you worked? I know we talked about it, but what has been your outside of content creation, cinema, movies and stuff, what all have you done? I mean, the inquiring minds want to know.
I have done everything under the sun with the exception of pornography. Now, granted, there have been scenes in movies I've worked on that have like had, you know, nudity, but never like, you know, never porn. It's a joke on my channel today. I have a movie command, like exclamation point movies, and you can go see all the movies I worked on. But then my mods at some point made an exclamation point porn, and it brings them to the same link. But it's just funny, you know. So
good,
everybody
ones
goes in
mod, good
yeah.
ones mods.
But it regarding movies and stuff, I've done it all, man. Commercials, music videos, interviews with, you know, high up executives at like Visa or Salesforce, or you know, raunchy, you know, short films, you know, little gory horror movies, or you know, Jurassic World or Godzilla or Red Tails and all these other like films, and it was really fun. It always has been fun. I felt like, and this kind of goes back to Twitch as well, is like at a certain point of doing something for so long, you kind of get a little burnt out, and you need to like figure out a way to mix things up. And I think I really mixed things up when I found Twitch. I was still passionate about doing film work, but like as soon as I started streaming, my passion for filmmaking died down a little bit because I saw the potential of what streaming could be. Now, granted, my all-time favorite thing, film-wise, has been working on this movie. What is it? Red Tails. Just because I got to work with a lot of my like professors that I had in college, they were on set, and I was working underneath them in the camera department. I was working alongside one of my good buddies. And for the majority of that movie, it was a bunch of reshoots. They reshot the beginning of this movie called Red Tails, and I don't remember why they had to, but we were on this little green screen soundstage that ILM used to own, which is now called 3210 Studios. But back then it was Kerner Optical, and this is in San Francisco, north of San Francisco a little bit, kind of near San Rafael, and it was a giant studio where they shot Star Wars. They shot all these movies here. And we were working on this movie called Red Tails. And the cool thing about it was that these reshoots were all being directed by George Lucas. So I was sitting there for 30 days working alongside George Lucas. And it was mind-blowing as a kid to grow up and see Star Wars and see all these movies that have him as like an executive producer. You look at Indiana Jones and he's in there like helping out Spielberg. You know, it's just like all these little things. And I was just like, I'm standing next to you. And at one day, I'll never forget it. One day I'm just standing there. We're filming a fuselage of a plane on a giant gimbal. So, you know, we have a bunch of guys on either side of this giant fuselage, and because it's on a gimbal, it can rotate side to side. So like you're in a plane and it's all green screen. And we had to figure out a way to slate the shot. The camera's up high. The plane is up high, and you got to get the slate in front of the camera. And the camera's like inside the plane. How are you going to do that? So my buddy and I, we developed we found like a little C-stand. Now, C-stand is what you use to hold lights or, you know, modifiers for lights. And they usually have these things called a gobo arm or a gobo head. And anyways, we jerry-rigged a broom and a gobo arm to our slate. A slate is that little clapperboard so you can sync sound to video or film. So we took it, we clamped it, a broomstick and this other piece of metal to this slate. And we put like a little cable to it, so that we could pull the cable and it'd pull down the little slate arm thing, and it would clap down and make the clap. So that way we could stick this slate way up, you know, 20 feet in the air, and then just pull this little cable, and it would mark the shot. So we wouldn't have to like have the camera operators pan over or tilt over to us, zoom in, get the slate, zoom back out, reset the camera, and be like, okay, now we're ready to shoot. We wanted to make it as easy as possible for the camera operators, the DP, and everybody that was involved so that we looked good. You know, time on set is money. So we were trying to shorten, we were trying to just innovate on set to try to alleviate the time that we were using to spend to like slate each shot. Anyways, while this was going on, I was standing right next to George Lucas, and he started like complimenting what we were doing. And he started talking about slating in the old times with like chalkboards and stuff. And I was like, dude, you're talking to me. What? It literally blew my mind that this guy who directed all these Star Wars movies and THX 1138 and all these like famous big movies, not a ton, but a lot of these famous big movies is just standing there and I'm just chit chatting with them. And it's just such a weird experience and surreal experience that I was just like, man, is this what like making it on a real set feels like? Is this it? Like standing next to someone like this famous and this big. And it was just such a cool moment. Now, granted, there was a lot of other things that happened on set on that movie that were very much weird for me and first times. You know, I got to see George Lucas yell at our cinematographer out in the open to everybody. And that was like, if you've ever been with your homies or your friends and had their, you know, one of their moms was yelling at them, it was very much just like that. It's just super embarrassing
George
for him.
Lucas yelled at you.
Yeah. It was like, dude, your mom just yelled at you. And so everyone's kind of giggling, but like they're walking on eggshells because like the guy that he was yelling at was my boss. So it was like, I can't laugh, but like, this is crazy. Like this, George Lucas had this kind of power to just be able to like be like that on set. You know, if you're a professional, you'd like take him to the side, be like, hey, I don't know what you're doing. Like, we should change this. But this, George is just like, what are you doing? I have never seen a cinematographer do this before in my life. And just really reamed him on set. And it was, I can't imagine how he felt. But just little moments like that on that set of Red Tails was just a shock. But it's what leads me to say, like, that's my favorite movie I ever worked on just because of all the random things that happen. I'll give you one other story about it. Terrence Howard was on the movie, and he came in a couple times on set. And he was doing these monologues to camera in front of a giant blue screen. Dude, blue screens and green screens, they were everywhere. But he was doing this monologue, talking to a giant army of guys, right? Just looking around, you know, he's just staring at people and just giving this big speech. But, of course, there's no one that he's actually talking to. He's just talking in front of a green screen or blue screen, and he's just looking out in the distance. But he spent an entire, like, five-minute take doing his monologue, but he kept going back and just staring at me every time. Like, maybe I was a soldier on set or something like that. And he just kept, like, looking into my eyes and, like, yelling at me in, like, a positive way. But it was just, it felt so uncomfortable because my job was, like, sit behind the camera, make sure nothing happens. Like, you know, keep, you know. So he's always, like, looking towards me. And it was super awkward. So eventually, a couple takes later, I'm like, I have to wear glasses or something, dude. This is too weird. Like, weird. I need to look at this guy for my job. But, like, at the same time, he's looking at me. And if I like make some funny face or something like that, like I'm dead meat because like you don't want to interrupt their actor when they're doing their thing. So I eventually put on some aviator glasses and I'm just staring at him, but he can't see that I'm looking at him. So I felt like, you know, you ever look through like a two-way mirror, you kind of feel like you're in control a little bit. But so yeah, that was a fun experience. And he also claimed one day that it was his birthday on set when it wasn't. It was actually my birthday on set, but we celebrated his birthday on set. And I was so bummed that day because everyone was celebrating Terrence Howard's birthday. That was actually like 3 weeks in the past. Oh man, I was annoyed.
How selfish of you, Terrence Howard.
Exactly.
But I mean, I don't know. I think first of all, I would probably like, I might have like peed my pants a little bit. Like if George Lucas just looked at me, you know, I mean, I was a huge Star Wars kid, you know, and if he'd be like, hey, well, this is pretty cool. You did you just talk to me? Hold on. Or like the Scarlett O'Hara moment. Oh, I do declare and pass, you know, faint or something like that.
He'd be like, and like, talk to me. I certainly wasn't going to approach him. So like, I never said anything. He approached me with this conversation about slating and I was like, oh, I'm all for this. I will talk as long as you want, George. But was it
George or Mr. Lucas?
You know what? I don't think I ever actually referred to as either of the names. I was just like, hey, what's up? I don't think I ever was like, hey, thank good, nice to meet you, George.
You will call me Commandant Lucas, please.
Yeah. What's up? But yeah, it was a surreal experience that I'll never forget. That movie, just for like those little moments that happened in there. But working in film has always been such a pleasure, and my job is such a make or break the movie. Like, when you think about my streams and when the camera's on me, if the focus is off and I'm all soft and out of focus, if I'm in that blurry background, like, that's not a usable shot. And there's no CGI that can fix that without just doing the whole shot over again in CG. But yeah, it's a weird control I kind of have over films that, like, if I mess up, it doesn't matter whose job is doing what. If I mess up, the whole shoot fails. Because I'm a first AC, and that job entails me managing and organizing all the camera gear. But my job during a specific take for a movie is making sure that the person or thing that we're looking at is in focus. So, you know, you go watch, Breaking Bad, and, you know, you're watching, you know, Walter White walk up to the camera. If he's out of focus and he needs to be in focus, like, that's gonna raise some eyebrows and be like, hey, I can't actually see him. He's a blurry object. Like, that's a problem.
Did you work on Breaking Bad?
I did not work on Breaking Bad. That would have been a dream of mine, though. But very much inspiration to my latest thing, which has been making all these little going live tweets rather than just sending out this little, hey, I'm going live in 30 minutes. Come check out my stream, twitch.tv/activator. I've been now every morning thinking of a new weird camera angle, much like what Breaking Bad did with, like, putting cameras in these weird spots in, like, their intros and stuff. And trying to say, like, you know, I put a camera in a weird spot and I say, like, hey, I'm going live at XYZ time. Like, come check me out. I say something. And then that's a tweet, like, you know, 1 minute long. But I try to do something to bring the film industry and Breaking Bad to, like, my going live tweets. Just to mix things up, just because I haven't seen anybody else do it. And I want to do something new. And I'm so tired of seeing people be like, hey, I'm live. Come check me out.
I actually really like it. And one of the ones that I remember was when you put your camera or phone, I don't know with what you do it, but, you know, secret, but you put it on the stove under the irons and you were, like, heating your water, you know, and started, like, whistling to make your tea, you know? And I was like, oh my God. And, like, I went into your stream and I made this stupid joke saying, like, hey, are you sure you didn't forget your camera? Because I think your wife is burning it right now.
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah, it's fun, but I'm running out of ideas because, you know, there's only so many weird places you can put a camera, and it depends on the size
the
of the camera.
The toilet one. Oh my God.
So many people wanted me to put my camera in a toilet. I was like, I can't do it.
See,
but
this is where you could do the Mavic. You could do a drone outside.
And I did. I ended up doing it one day. I ended up just, like, going outside, and I, like, got really low underneath the car, and I was saying, hey, I'm going to go live at XYZ, and I'm like, all right, go say hi to Brooklyn, and then I just fly the camera straight up, and then you see all of Brooklyn.
Well, let me ask you this, because I usually ask all the gamers that come through here, but you're, like, a different breed of gamer. If you could shoot any movie in the history of time, what movie would that be? Any movie.
I mean, are you asking about a movie that already exists or just something that I would want to do of, like, a particular genre or something? Just, like, anything I could think of?
I would say any movie that's been made in the past, and, you know, and it could be a two-part. So, like, any movie you would love to shoot and movie that has already been made that you wish you could have.
Or TV show, right?
Done.
Yeah. I mean, I think they would end up being kind of the same thing, but I've always had a couple of movies in mind. I've always wanted to shoot a old school Western, something very similar to The Assassination of Jesse James. I've always wanted to shoot a movie that takes the viewer to many locations, something very much like an adventure movie. You think of the game Uncharted, or you think of the movie Indiana Jones. Something along those lines would be super fun, where you can get, like, a couple characters that do this journey together, but explore just vastly different areas of the world. Even something like, I mean, not as much, but something like the Bourne movies, right? He's usually going from, like, Germany to this state to this, or this country to this country, this country, and all over the place. And you get to see these visual different changes and whatnot. And that, to me, is, like, super cool as a cinematographer. As a director, I'd never want to be a director, but as a cinematographer who wants to shoot movies and, like, light them and set them up, Indiana Jones type movies of this adventure and just fun, like, you know, just action-y adventure, maybe even some noir in there would be my dream to shoot. I mean, I love, like, those old school kind of, like, noir movies, super hard shadows. You think of something like Sin City, but, like, less cartoony, yeah. Just something very just dark and mysterious. I would love to do something like that. And
like something like, I think, like, for me, I think it would be, like, I'm a huge, Like, I love the movie The Crow. I love the fact that that movie, it's like almost always dark and it's raining all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, then you take it to other movies. I mean, I'm kind of going on all over the place here, but I look at a movie like The Matrix, man, and how that was shot. Not like the story and all that, but just how the movie was shot. If you ever watch that movie on mute, it is a really, if you watch any movie on mute, you will get a real sense of like, you should be able to understand the story when a movie is muted. And The Matrix is one of them that I can. And just visually, it's so pleasing. I remember I watched it on a DVD, or I watched it in theaters, then I watched it on DVD, and then I finally watched it on Blu-ray, and each experience was super different. Just because of how much DVDs like really degraded the image. But when I went to like a Blu-ray and I really got to see how the cinematographer Bill Pope lit and shot the movie, it was just like, oh man, this is just like eye candy. I was so into it. Just all the different color combos and just like the stylistic like camera angles and like how they move the camera from like a room to another room using like a bird's eye kind of view going over, like over. Have you ever seen the movie Bound? It was the movie shot right before they made The Matrix. It was basically like The Matrix, the same cinematographer and same directors, the Wachowski brothers, now sisters. They shot this movie called Bound with some of the same cast members, as well as the same shooting style. And it was like, it was basically their, almost like their trailer for trying to make The Matrix. It was like their test. You should watch it. It's a wonderful love action thriller movie about these two women who are super into each other, and it is phenomenally shot. And you'll see when you're watching, you think you're watching The Matrix because of the shots that they're putting in the movie because they're trying it out. It's a wonderful movie. But anyways, I look at cinematography and I look at movies like Indiana Jones and all that stuff, and I'm just like, it's just like I drool. I would love to be a part of that.
I mean, it's like that. This goes to like the way you look at things compared to the way like I look at things, the way Blaze looks at things. It's like you see things from a different perspective. Like if I look at like an angle and you're like, oh, that looks cool. You're like, oh, that looks sucks. That doesn't look that good. But I need to make this. I need to make the light a little blue and down to the right at a 90 degree angle. And then all of a sudden you're just like, then it makes sense. You're just like, oh, I never would have thought of that, you know?
Absolutely.
I was just complacent with shooting that little box sitting over there, so.
Yeah, I mean, I bring this.
Do you have any projects that are coming that you're going to work on? Well, you can't say titles or anything, but is there anything?
No, I would if I could, but like I'm definitely not working on any feature films. Like I've kind of stopped looking for feature films and movies just because of how long it takes me away from streaming. And I learned this early on when I started doing a lot of like indie features and stuff, back in like 2016, 2017, is that like when I go work on a movie, I could be working on that movie for, you know, a month, 2 months, and maybe only have a few hours to like stream. And maybe throughout those few hours, like, you know, I'm, you know, with my girlfriend at the time or my wife, and, you know, I'm trying to make sure I'm putting my time in the right places. But when I'm working on a feature, I don't have time to stream. And so when me thinking about working on a feature today is very much like the time you spend away from streaming or social media is years for a viewer. I feel like, you know, if Tim, Lyric, and all these other big casters went away for a solid month, dude, I feel like people would go insane. Like that would be like a lifetime for them. You know, you see any big caster or even small casters that go away or
so,
you know, 7 days.
What you're actually saying is for you at the moment, your stream is your priority, actually.
Correct. Right now, my stream is my main source of income and my main priority besides my everyday life with my beautiful wife.
Oh yeah, of course. But like, if you think about it, like being a filmmaker was your dream. Then you discover Twitch and now you fall in love with Twitch and you kind of moved on from being a filmmaker to doing Twitch, right? That's
how
your story kind of goes.
That's pretty much how it went. I didn't know streaming was a thing until I found streaming. And once I found it, I was like, man, this is cool. Like, but the caveat being that I don't know if I'll ever make it to the point where I'm like, you know, where I'm feeling comfortable. You know, as my primary job being streaming, you know, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, now I mean, you talk about streaming. How, do you have a stream schedule? Please, and just go ahead and shout out. It's twitch.tv/activator with an
correct.
E. And any particular schedule you got that you roll with? Or
yeah, so lately I've been streaming Monday, Tuesday, sometimes Wednesdays, but definitely Thursday, Friday. So I stream throughout the entire week. Sometimes I take Wednesdays off to make YouTube content. But I stream from 10:30 a.m. Eastern to about 5 p.m. Eastern, give or take some time here or there. But yeah, I've always tried to do at least 4 days, but generally it's been 5 days at a time. But yeah, you can find me live throughout the week. I usually don't stream on the weekends, but I'm usually around playing games with my friends, or I always have my chat open. And when someone new comes in and asks a question, I'm usually able to answer within a couple hours at most. Yeah, I'm always there, but I'm not always there.
Fall Guys? You played Fall Guys?
I touched Fall Guys a little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you got a win? Have you got a win yet?
You know what? I was with the team, and my two teammates both got individual wins on our team, but I was third place, the stupid crown, and I didn't get the stupid crown, dude. I didn't realize you you had to jump and then grab the crown. So I jumped and so I kind of fell on someone else.
We're
going to
go ahead and give you a win. We'll give you a win.
You thanks. Yeah.
That's a mistake a lot of people actually made.
Yeah, take that, Tim. How's that feel?
Take that, Tim. He could have got the win, but he said, "You know what? I'm going to give it to somebody else." Tim's been trying. Activator said, "You know what? This person over here, he could be, you know, someone that needs it more than I do. I'm just going to go ahead and let them have the win." So take that.
Speaking of Tim the Tatman, he's basically what put me on the map for Twitch. He was very much a person I was always watching back in the day. And, at some point we were playing this game called H1Z1 and he was also playing at the time. And, we got into the same game and we met him in the Jeep in a Jeep and game, dude.
Sorry, and, I was clapping. Best battle we're going. Best PR ever.
I miss it, dude. I miss it every day. And I played this new game, Anaria, and it's not the same, but it's close.
I finally got my key 4 days later.
It took you a while.
Oof.
They're like, we might. Is it okay if we send you an extra key for this problem? And I was like, sure. But I've heard like
at least
already,
they did
like,
that.
Like two devs have already left already.
Dang, I didn't know that. That's man, tough.
That's rumor. T Humps tweeted it out. So anyway, H1Z1, rest in peace.
But yeah, so through H1Z1, I found Tim the Tatman. I died early on, so it's just like my buddy who was in the car with them at the time, and he started. I never want anybody to ever think that I'm ever kind of like selling out a little bit to like shout out myself or anything like that. So instead, my homie, who I haven't seen in a long time, he ended up showing or asking Tim a question while in a car with them. And the question was, "Hey, Tim, what do you think about corn on pizza?" And this question is kind of like what birthed Tim's and my friendship. And from that corn on pizza comment, at the time I was streaming, I was doing like a 15-hour stream. It was like my third or second month of streaming. And mid-stream for him, back when, you know, he was pulling like 2,000 to 4,000 viewers, he rated me mid-stream, mid-his stream, mid-my stream. He's just like, "Hey, go over there, but come back, but go over there and say hi." So they all came flooding in, and it blew my mind. So after that stream, I went into his channel, and, you know, he always has people donating to his channel. So it's like, "All right, here's $100, man. Thank you so much, dude. I appreciate it. Here's a clip," or here's like a, I think at the time, odd shot of my my stream and what happened when you hosted. And here's that corn on pizza I was talking about. And then, you know, fast forward a couple weeks, he did it again. He rated me again. Fast forward a couple weeks, he did it again. And then again, and then again, and again, and again. I think he's rated me probably about 30 times. And at a certain point, you know, he... Every time I would always try to go into his channel after and donate to him, be like, "Hey, thank you again. Here's a clip from when you rated. This is what was going on." And he'd show it on stream. And eventually his chat rioted to get me moderator, get me to be a mod in his channel. So it was like, "Fine, I'll mod him." So he modded me, and I still mod his chat today. But
that's why I'm banned there. I'm joking.
But to this day,
best ban ever.
Tim and I are still friends. He definitely works very closely with his mod and my homie Whips. And yeah, I mean he basically put me on the map. I think I applied for partnership about four times. My fifth time, I went to his channel. I was like, hey, dude, I'm going to try to apply again. All right, wish me luck. And he's like, all right, you know what? Use this. And he goes to his full cam view and he starts talking to individual people at Twitch. He's like, all right, Hassan, all right, Pluto, you, blah, 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 blah. Partner this guy. Get him partnered. And so, you know, when you first apply to a job or something like that, you're very professional, right? But by the fifth time, you just kind of mess around at that point. And so that's what I did. I was like, hey, what's up, Twitch? Here's me applying for the fifth time. Here's Tim saying this thing. Check this VOD out or check this clip out. All right, bye. And then, like, you know, a couple days later, I got an email saying, like, hey, you're in. I was like, what? Okay. So, yeah, with his help, I ended up getting my partnership. And, yeah, he basically helped me out more than I think anybody else on the platform. And it's always been something really cool because he's always helped the smaller guys. And it was very humbling to know that he saw my channel and was impressed enough to be like, yeah, I'm going to host him on the regular. I think his content's good. And he was someone that I looked up to. So it was very cool to get that sort of applause from him for me to keep going. So that very much kept me streaming most of my up until today, you know.
All right. Well, I want to be the first to say thank you for coming on the podcast. It's we like different perspectives about what it takes, what you've done, what you accomplish, your vision down the road, and I can't wait to see the Activator Cam 7000 patent pending. But do me a favor, take the time, shout out all your social media, websites, sponsors you have, and all that kind
sponsor
of good
codes,
stuff.
Sponsor codes, you know. So
yeah, your codes, don't forget off, that. So, know. And just so you know, you are more than welcome to come on at any time and do a class for $5.99, people. $5.99.
You heard it here. Come get your camera tutorials.
So, but because you're more than a cam, you're not the cam guy. You're an awesome, like, you're like a cam mentor. That's not, I like that. That sounds better.
Yeah, sure.
You're a cam mentor, but because you don't have to help people, but you do, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but for me and Blaze, I want to say thank you very much for coming on the podcast and take this time to shout out your stuff, your goals, your dreams, your ambitions, and all that kind of good stuff.
All right. Well, if you guys are still listening to this podcast, hi. Thank you guys for listening to my whole spiel. You guys can find me Monday through Friday working or streaming over on twitch.tv/activator. That's Activator with an E, not an O. It's the internet. I couldn't get Activator with an O. But you can find me there. You can also find tutorials and all these kind of different videos and stuff that I make over on YouTube. I'm trying to train people and teach people how to operate their cameras and how to set up lighting and even their OBS settings and all that stuff. So youtube.com/activator, again with an E. You can also find me on Twitter, twitter.com/twitchactivator. Unfortunately, Activator has been inactive on Twitter for the last like 10 years, but I still can't seem to get the name. So that's unfortunate. So you'll find me over there at Twitch Activator, same as my Instagram, Twitch Activator. Go check that out, man. I try to put some going live tweets over there that are a little bit more, unique than the casual, hey, I'm going live, come check me out. But I usually do something a little different over there. So maybe go check that out. But yeah, that's about it for me. I appreciate you guys offering me a spot on your podcast, and it seems
any sponsor,
super
it
cool.
It was what our honor to have subs? You, man.
What about Gamer Subs?
I mean, I could throw out my sponsors. Yeah, you know, shout out to my wonderful sponsors over at Gamer Subs, man. This company is the size of their company is not as big as some, but they are putting out this product and the support and everything behind them has been phenomenal. Gamer Subs is it's an energy drink, comes in a powder form, a very small amount added to your 16-ounce glass of water. It literally takes you back to being a kid drinking a bunch of Kool-Aid in the afternoon, you know what I'm saying? But there's no sugar. It's all good.
I had Gamer Subs, and I had a Gamer Sub t-shirt. I had one for my girlfriend, and I got a cap because I met the owner back at TwitchCon 2017, if I'm right.
That's awesome.
2018, I don't know anymore.
We were both
but
in
he
WBG.
Gave me this. Yeah, yeah. He gave me a bunch of stuff. He was a really nice guy, you know, and they really have good product. That's true. I can vouch for that.
A good product and just good overall people, man. They come into my channel. They just came in the other day. They got a brand new chat service on their website, and they had me go give the chat team a hard time. So I'm over there giving them really crazy questions like, hey, if I order 100 shakers, how are you going to ship them to me? And I was starting to give them a hard time, but, you know, you got to do what the bosses say, right?
That's so funny. And don't you have NZXT also?
So I'm affiliated with NZXT. I'm sponsored by Patriot Memory, as well as I am. I guess so. I was sponsored by NZXT, and that kind of changed. They changed their whole system. So I don't know if you can call it a sponsorship anymore. It's more of an affiliation where I have like a code where you can support me by using code Bobby. Activator on their website. So if you guys ever want to use code Activator, both on GamerSubs and on NZXT, you'll get a little. You'll help me out, or you'll get a discount. It's pretty nice.
I got the H510 Elite Matte Black sponsored for my new PC from NZXT.
Very nice. Yeah,
I don't have a code like you, so go and use Activator's code. I'll even put it up on my stream, your code, you know? And my memory is also sponsored by Patriot, by Viper Gaming, you know?
Very nice. Yeah, I mean, Patriot, they make some really cool gear. I shot a commercial for them recently. It's somewhere on their YouTube. Which I can probably try to find at some point. But yeah, Patriot and both them and Viper Gaming, both my sponsors, and both put out some tech, some gear, you know, peripherals, all that kind of good stuff. Code Activator again to get yourself a little discount.
And you guys keep in mind, that's Activator with an E.
That's right. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, don't get it. Yeah, don't flip the script.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, make sure you guys are going and showing him some love and support, because his content that he's creating, just mainly on YouTube and on Twitch, is phenomenal, because you can just sit back and it's like, it's one of those streams that you can sit back and just enjoy. You're like, I never would have thought that is cool. That is cool. I mean, just where he's going, the direction he's going, the visualization he has behind it is just phenomenal. And I can't say thank you. You are more than welcome to come back anytime you want. We would definitely love to have you back for season two if you can squeeze this in before you get too big time. you know, you always have a spot to come hang out here. So for me and Blaze, I want to say thank you again once again. Yeah, and all his social medias, his sponsorship details, and his codes will be down in the description below. So make sure you're showing some love support for Activator. And once again, thank you very much for coming and hanging out on the podcast. And remember, if you guys are out there gaming, you better be out there fragging.
Because else you're probably lagging.
Mom! 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 Get the camera! I gotta kill! Oh my, gotta kill! Oh yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner undying to the gas!